everyone. This is Yvette Hampton. Welcome back to the Schoolhouse Rocks podcast. We are back for the final part of Garrett's interview with Alex Newman. This is his interview for his new podcast, The Thinking Dad Podcast. And we are so excited about this podcast launching this week. This has been a really big deal. It's taken a year and a half at least of prayer and thought. And so if you want to hear the story and you've missed that somehow, go back and listen to Monday's episode. And then parts one and two of this interview were played the last 2 days. So go back and listen to those. You are going to be just really encouraged by this last part of their conversation, though. But before we get back into it, I want to say thank you to our sponsor, BJU Press Homeschool. If you're looking for a good, amazing Christian curriculum for your kids, check out bjupresshomeschool.com. And they've got something for every subject, every age, every grade. And if you're not sure what you need for your kids, you can call up BJU Press Homeschool and talk to one of their consultants, and they will help walk you through it. bjupresshomeschool.com. Now enjoy this last part of Garrett's interview with Alex Newman.
He outlined this future of a communist America in the year 2000, where there would be no private property or the family would disintegrate and we'd have this utopia. So that was John Dewey's view. And he worked really, really hard to bring that view about through the manipulation of children in the schools. He was also responsible for bringing this entire cabal of communists into the United States. We've got a chapter on it in the book. It's called the Frankfurt School. It was the Institute for Social Research in Frankfurt, Germany. This was actually a project of the Comintern, the Communist Internationale. And so they set up this institute in Frankfurt, where they were thinking, you know, how do we move Western societies toward communism? Because they were honest with themselves. They realized that Marx's idea that the working class was going to overthrow the bourgeoisie was just not going to happen in Western society. So Antonio Gramsci was working on this in Italy. The Frankfurt School was working on this in Frankfurt. Well, the International Socialists, the Frankfurt School, didn't really get along with the National Socialists, the Nazis. And so the Frankfurt School was brought over to the United States by John Dewey and John Dewey's sugar daddy, the Rockefellers. So they bring these guys over here. They put them up at Teachers College at Columbia University. From there, they go over to the University of California system. They spread out throughout the whole country and start pumping these poisonous Marxist ideas like critical theory, the authoritarian personality is what they used to label the American father. The American father, they said, was authoritarian. His influence needed to be restrained. Why? Well, because they understood that fathers in the Christian tradition would protect their families, would resist any effort to steal freedom, to hurt their families, etc. So they specifically targeted the American father as a giant obstacle in the path to their utopia. But John Dewey, again, the most significant figure probably in public education in all of human history. He ended up becoming the honorary life president of the National Education Association. And he actually founded a new religion, Garrett, and I think it's worth sharing this with people. Him and about 30 of his buddies, mostly from academia, wrote the Humanist Manifesto. The Humanist Manifesto, very important document. You can still read it today. They've got updated versions, but the core is all the same. Basically, communism. They say we need to restructure the ownership system and the means of production. We need to get rid of the profit motive. But the most important things are right at the top. It says we believe the universe is self-existing and not created. Right? Direct attack on Christianity. So that was his kind of religion. And ultimately, it's just, the same lie that we heard from Satan in the garden, ye shall be as gods, right? So you get to determine for yourself what's right or wrong. And then this religion of John Dewey's was actually established as the national religion of the United States by the Supreme Court in 1962 and 1963, as the justice who wrote the dissent explained very clearly. He said this isn't the establishment of neutrality with respect to religion, but rather the establishment of the religion of secularism. So that's John Dewey for you in a nutshell, a communist who wanted to overthrow our system, who hijacked and took control of the public education system, and the rest is history, as they say.
You touched on this idea of a slow, gradual, kind of gentle revolution as opposed to Marx's all-out revolution. And it's very clear now that the Fabian socialists won. The Fabian socialists were those who intended for a gradual, peaceful turnover. And they have won. Even in America, where we see ourselves as a free constitutional republic, we are essentially a socialist nation now. The schools are completely socialist. You talk about the authoritarian father, that's toxic masculinity, right?
That's
which
right.
is poured out all over us. And every one of these planks has now been established. Now, I want to jump back to one other foundational educational principle, because I've heard you speak on this before, and I think it's critical to understand this, even in light of the Christian faith, and that is literacy. It seems that education, the foundational measure of education, would be, can the people read? Can the people gain their own knowledge, and can they transmit their knowledge? And yet we have a giant literacy crisis in the schools and in culture. How did that happen?
Yeah, and actually that story is intimately intertwined with the emergence of government schools. It's a fascinating story. I'll try to condense it into just a few minutes. So it begins actually very innocently. There's a Reverend Gallaudet, who had learned from some French monks this new approach to teaching reading. Now, Reverend Gallaudet was overseeing what they called back then an asylum for the deaf and the dumb in Connecticut. It just was an institution to help children who were deaf and mute and couldn't speak, couldn't hear, to be able to get by in the world, right? It wasn't like today where the Americans with Disabilities Act and everything has to be handicap friendly. It was a very different world back then. And so Reverend Gallaudet came up with this idea that, hey, these children can't hear, so we certainly can't teach them that a P makes a P sound or a T makes a T sound, and you can blend it with this vowel and it'll make it sound like this, which is, of course, the core of our writing system, right? We have a phonetic writing system where each letter represents one or more, or is a symbol representing one or more sounds, and then you can blend those sounds together, and anything that you can say, you can put down on paper. Well, for a deaf child, that doesn't make any sense because they can't hear what that sound sounds like. And so teaching a child to read phonetically when they're deaf is just not an option. And so Reverend Gallaudet says, hey, why don't we teach these children to memorize whole words? And that way, you know, they might not be able to memorize all the words in the English language. That would be quite a challenge. But if they're really smart, maybe they can memorize a few hundred, maybe even a couple thousand. And so for the deaf children, this was really a giant success. They went from being able to read absolutely nothing to being able to at least get an understanding of what was on the page. And that was all great. You know, kudos to Reverend Gallaudet for his godly efforts to help people who are less fortunate. And we appreciate that. Well, the problem comes when Horace Mann had started setting up these government schools in Massachusetts. He was importing the Prussian system back to the United States. And he had gotten himself selected as the first ever Secretary of Education. We had never had in any state a Secretary of Education. And he thinks, well, hey, if this works so great for the deaf children, I bet it'll work even better for the non-deaf children. So he tells the public schools in Boston that were just getting off the ground to start using this new method to teach reading. Now, the schoolmasters of these Boston schools were quite clever. And within 2 years, they wrote this blistering critique. Actually, Dr. Sam Blumenfeld, who I worked with very closely, he and I co-authored Crimes of the Educators together over a decade ago. He reprinted this essay as an appendix in one of his books, The New Illiterates, from 1973. It's a brilliant essay. And, you know, they were very polite back then. It wasn't like today where, you know, Trump and Biden call each other names and things. They were very polite. But what they said was, hey, this proposed change that offered by Mr. Mann is neither called for nor sustained by sound reasoning, right? Which is the 1800s way of saying, you idiot, what are you doing? This doesn't work. We're not going to continue. So that was stopped. We didn't hear about it again until John Dewey comes on the scene.
Have you tried CTC math yet with your child? Here's a testimonial from another happy homeschool mom. Amber said, I'm absolutely thrilled with CTC math. It's a rare find that I've used with my children for more than 5 years now. I have 6 children using CTC math, and each child has found it easy to navigate and very applicable. Thank you so much for all that you are doing in providing quality math lessons for my children. If you're looking for a great online math program, visit ctcmath.com. That's ctcmath.com. Are you looking for a homeschool curriculum that goes beyond textbooks and truly engages your children in the joy of learning? Apologia's award-winning curriculum is written by homeschool parents to specifically meet your needs and captivate your students with hands-on activities and experiments that make learning unforgettable. With an easy-to-follow, open-and-go format, Apologia takes the stress out of planning and provides a simple roadmap that can easily be tailored to your family's needs. Explore live classes or self-paced courses designed to accommodate every student's unique learning style. Elevate your child's education, spark their curiosity, and nurture a lifelong love for learning with Apologia. Discover Apologia today at apologia.com.
We didn't hear about it again until John Dewey comes on the scene. Now, this is really interesting. So John Dewey sets up an experimental school at the University of Chicago with funding from the Rockefeller dynasty and decides, hey, let's try it again. It didn't work back when Horace Mann tried it 50, 60 years ago, but let's try it again and let's see what happens. So they tried out in this experimental school, a $3 million school. And sure enough, they graduated a bunch of kids who couldn't read, including, incidentally, some of the Rockefeller boys. So they think, wow, this will be perfect. So John Dewey loves the results of this. He ends up working with some of his buddies, some of his colleagues, to create new reading primers based on these principles. And the descendants of those, some of them are still around today, the Dick and Jane readers, you know, see, spot, run, run, spot, run, right? Teaching kids to memorize whole words. And these, because of the prestige of the University of Chicago, because of the prestige of Teachers College at Columbia University, which even back then was considered, you know, the leading or one of the leading educational colleges in the country. So these start spreading across the United States. Now, after World War II, when there was a lot more money to spare, more and more school districts started buying these programs. And very, very rapidly, we just saw this cataclysm when it came to reading. It was so bad, a book that became a major bestseller at the time, Why Johnny Can't Read, was published in the 1950s. And he explained very clearly why Johnny couldn't read. And I'm paraphrasing here, but it was something like, the reason Johnny can't read is because the teaching of reading in all the schools, in all the textbooks, is totally wrong and flies in the face of all logic and common sense. So that's why Johnny couldn't read. Well, that caused a major scandal. So some of the school districts kind of walked it back a little bit, but the totalitarians were not done. They insisted on continuing this methodology. So Sam Blumenfeld exposes it in 1973 with the New Illiterates. And, you know, fast forward to today, we've got the Common Core that we talked about a little bit earlier. Well, under Common Core, if you read it in kindergarten, children are going to be, according to the text, memorizing what they call high frequency words. And so you've got various lists of words they're supposed to memorize. The common ones, the Dulch list, the Fry list, right? I'm sure some homeschoolers are thinking, oh no, nothing. Yeah, those, right? Nope. So they get the kids to memorize all these words. And to kind of get into the mechanics of how this works, right? When you're memorizing a whole word, what they're doing is they're teaching children to see these words as if the word itself is a symbol. Of course, the word is not a symbol. The word is a collection of symbols that has to be deciphered by sounding it out. But when you teach the child to approach the word as if it were a symbol in and of itself, they'll be okay if they can memorize a few hundred. They'll be okay with the very basic books like C, spot, run, run, spot, run, because you've memorized run, you've memorized spot, and you've memorized C. But what happens when you get to a word that you haven't memorized? Well, as you look at these reading tools, they say, well, now you have to use your word attack skills. You got to look for context clues, look if there's any pictures on the page, you know, see what the word before and after. This is preposterous, right? So this is a deliberate agenda. And I think the simplest way to understand the true agenda, Garrett, is to go back to the first education law ever passed in North America. This was 1640s, the Old Deluder Satan Act. The Pilgrim said it's so critical that everyone can read, because that Old Deluder Satan wants to keep them from knowledge of the scriptures, that we're going to make sure every person in this colony can read. Now, it was a Bible colony, right? There was no separation of church and state. And so they said, you know, your town and your church need to make sure everybody can read. And so that's the genesis of universal literacy in America. I think it can be easily demonstrated that John Dewey understood that literacy was the key to, first of all, biblical understanding. Second of all, independence and freedom. If you can't educate yourself, you are a helpless person. You know, today with YouTube and audiobooks, you know, some of us can overcome that handicap. But 100 years ago, we didn't have YouTube and audiobooks, right? You were completely at the mercy of the education establishment if you couldn't read. So I think this was done deliberately for the purpose of dumbing down Americans so that they could be manipulated into giving up their freedoms, giving up their families, and ultimately surrendering all of the things that God had blessed our nation with, that we were entrusted to be good stewards over.
Amen. I know you've got to go, and we're right up against the limit here, but I'd love it if you would share just a minute of encouragement. We've heard all of the bad stuff, right? What hope would you give parents in light of this?
Well, I think one of the big bright sides is that in every one of the 50 states, you can still opt out of this system legally. We don't have to defy the government. In every state, you can pull your children out of this wicked system right now. And as Garrett alluded to earlier, you don't want to replicate government school at home, right? I encourage you to think about the most basic questions. What is the purpose of education, right? The world has its view. I asked Google, I asked all the AIs, and in their view, the purpose of education is to make you successful. Well, what does that even mean? mean, right? What if you lived in National Socialist Germany? Does that mean you're really good at rounding up Jews? You're really good at overseeing the concentration camp? I mean, that's a terrible metric for what education ought to be about. So start from the basic questions. Pull your children out of the system if you haven't yet. And embark on this journey. And that doesn't mean that you can't delegate some of these tasks to others. You know, get together with a homeschool co-op, get together with some other Christian families and do education and life together. But I'm really encouraged by what's happening on this front, Garrett. We've seen a massive exodus from this diabolical system. Millions of families have fled in recent years, and I guarantee you millions more are going to be fleeing in the years ahead. There is an exodus of massive proportions taking place right now. Almost everybody across the political spectrum understands that the system is not doing what normal people expect it to do, which is educate children. And so we've got a lot going for us. We have to get it right. There are efforts now to destroy home education. We must resist those. There are efforts to bring home education under the control of the state by offering us free money. Think of that like the cheese in the mousetrap, right? Don't eat the cheese. It's not really free. It's there to sucker you back into the system. But be encouraged, ladies and gentlemen. You know, God has given us everything that we need in His Word to be able to properly educate our children. And in this country, we are still free to do that. And millions of families have already chosen to do that. If you're not one of them, join us today. If you are already, sound the alarm. Right? The school system is on fire. What kind of people would we be if we didn't let other people know that their children were inside a burning building? We've got to get them out. We've got to do it now. It is, I believe, the most important battle. And if your pastor says, oh, no, we just focus on the Great Commission here, don't tell me that you're going to disciple the nations when you're losing 80% of the children in your congregation. That's foolishness. Our first ministry is to our family, and we've got to take this real serious.
Well, Alex, I couldn't say it any better than that. That is just perfect. Thank you so much for your time today. How can people get a hold of you or find your resources?
Well, thank you so much, Gary. So the easiest way to get this book is actually on Amazon. If people want a signed copy, they can get it from my website, libertysentinel.org. You can go to /shop, and it's available there. It'll take a little longer, and I got to charge shipping. People can sign up for my newsletter there, libertysentinel.org, thenewamerican.com, great magazine. And I'm also on Twitter, or X, as they call it. It's AlexNewman_JOU. And thanks again, Garrett, for having me. It's really an honor. I so appreciate everything that you and your family do for the Lord and for the church and for the homeschool community. So thank you, guys.
Man, thank you so much. Alex, I'm going to have you back to talk about school choice next time, because you teased that at the end. But I really appreciate your time today, and I look forward to talking to you again soon. Thanks a lot.
Thank you, brother. God bless you.
I hope you enjoyed this last part of Garrett's interview with Alex Newman on the Thinking Dad podcast. Well, actually, it was on the Schoolhouse Rocked podcast, but it was the Thinking Dad podcast played on the Schoolhouse Rocked podcast. So I know it was kind of a different week, but we've been so excited to share this with you guys. Share this with your friends. If you would share it with your friends, your family, if you're watching it on video, make sure that you subscribe to this channel and share that with your friends as well. That is the way that we're going to get word out about this new podcast. You guys are our marketing department. That's what you are. And so we need your help to get the word out about this. So share this with your friends. We trust that you've been encouraged this week. We will be back Monday with a regular guest on the Schoolhouse Rocked podcast. So stay tuned to hear a clip of what's coming up then. Until then, have a great rest of your week, and we will see you back here on Monday. Bye.
First heard of school choice years ago, I was like, well, that sounds amazing. Like, obviously we need choice. But I always think of that Princess Bride quote. Like, I don't think that word, what is it? That right. I don't think the word is what you think the word means.
Right.
Somebody's correcting me right now, because that's not exactly how it goes. But I think school choice is a little bit like that. Like, I think people think that it means one thing, but that's not what it means. School choice does not actually mean school choice, because we already have school choice in every single state in this nation. All 50 states, parents have the choice to home educate, to privately educate, put their kids in a private school, to publicly educate. Yeah. I mean, there's multiple choices, and every single state has it and has had it. Not always. My state, actually, in the 80s, parents were jailed for homeschooling, and we fought tirelessly for the freedom of homeschooling in our state, and we are now a very free state. And I guess that's also probably why I have this fire in me, because I've seen where we were and I've seen where we are, and I don't want to go back there. Some terms that people are going to hear around school choice would be ESA, which is an educational savings account. Mm-hmm. They might hear public-private partnership. They might hear things like tax credits or vouchers. These are kind of some of the buzzwords, but they're all methods of funding private education with public money, government money.
Sure.
But it's basically creating an education monopoly where we're entangling private actors, which is the private and the homeschools, right, under the control of a single system that funds them.